turn to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts chapter 16 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1172. Beginning with the 23rd verse, we'll read through the 29th. Acts 16, verses 23 through 29. We'll read these verses responsively. Let's stand, please, all of us, for the reading of God's Word. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then the 29th verse together, please. And he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas. Now I want to read for you some verses. If you'll just listen, you'll not turn to them. The third verse of the first chapter of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the third chapter of Ephesians and verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And let's pray. Father, bless, we pray, the preaching, and thank you for preaching. Thank you for the preaching of the Word, and thank you for what it's meant to our hearts and our lives. Tonight, give us what you have for us, and help us to receive from Thee that which Thou hast prepared through Thy servant, our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak tonight on the subject, they lived in a world all their own, or he lives in a world all his own. Our Heavenly Father, it is beyond my comprehension that you would leave to mortal man the responsibility of learning, studying, exposing, and preaching and teaching an eternal book. It just looks like you to send heavenly creatures down. But though I do not understand it, I revel in it and thank you for the joy of it. And so I give myself to you, as I've done already before the service many times, asking you to speak through me to these precious people who sit and wait. Do thou work of grace in all of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Nobody needs to tell you the story of the Philippian jailer and his conversion. No one needs to remind you that Paul and Silas were in prison. And while they were in prison at midnight, they decided to sing praises to God. And while they sang praises to God, there was an earthquake. The earthquake, by the way, is only incidental to my message tonight. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the theme. There was an earthquake. And Paul and Silas, who were held in stocks, were freed. The prison keeper, thinking certainly that they had fled, started to kill himself. Paul and Silas said, Don't do yourself any harm. We're still here. And for the only time in all the Bible where the question is really asked, plainly, simply, he cried, "What must I do to be saved?" Now, whatever the answer is here, brother, forever and a day, silences anybody that disagrees with it. Here's a good chance for the Apostle Paul to say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and join the Church of Christ and get baptized." Because the question was point blank. Ask him, "What must I do to be saved?" Here's a good chance for the apostle to say, "You take communion and get confirmed when you're a child, and take the sacraments." The question was asked point blank, "What must I do to be saved?" Here's a good chance for somebody to say, "You keep the Ten Commandments." The question's point blank, ask, "What must I do to be saved?" And whatever the answer is, let it silence for once and for all everybody that believes anything else. The Apostle Paul simply said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That settles it. Let God be true and every man a liar. That settles it. Now, many things are taught. By the way, he did get saved and invited Paul and Silas over for fried okra and turnip greens and squash after he got saved. And that's a proof, of course, that his salvation was genuine. If he'd have gone to McDonald's, I'd have doubted the sincerity of his profession. But there are many things taught in this story. One thing that is taught is God's delivering power. And I could preach for an hour, and I'm sure that those of you who heard me through these years will attest to that thing. I could preach for an hour on that one subject. And many of you would say and agree that I could preach for an hour on that one subject and not say anything about it. Then there also is the teaching here of what true joy really is. These nuts were singing and praising God. They were in jail. They had their feet tied and their hands tied. They were in stocks, not only in a prison of stone, but in prison of wood in that prison of stone. These crazy fellows are singing. By the way, did you think about Brother Olaf a while ago when Mrs. Colston was playing Living by Faith? Many things are taught in this passage, not the least of which, as I said a while ago, the simple way to be saved. I guess nothing quite irritates me anymore than these self-righteous people who are too lazy and too cold to go soul winning themselves and criticize those who do by saying we spread easy believism. I always want to ask these Pharisees, what do they believe in? Hard believism? The honest truth is, if you were God and you had a race that you made for whom with whom you could fellowship and that race sinned, you'd make it as easy as you could within your justice to get back to yourself. God doesn't have an obstacle. Plan of salvation is not an obstacle course. It's a door, that's all. You just come in the door. The Bible compares salvation to taking a drink of water. It said, if you thirst, take a drink of water. Now, I believe in easy drinkism. I think if a fellow's thirsty, it's easy to take a drink of water if the water's there for him. The Bible compares salvation to getting married. And all you got to do is say, "Want 'em," to the groom. He says, "Ugh." You say, "Want 'em," to the bride. She says, "Ugh." You say, "Got 'em." That's all there is to it. We doctor it up, make it sound pretty. "Will you take this woman to be your..." all that stuff. And we make it sound awful pretty, but basically it's "Want 'em," "Ugh," "Want 'em," "Ugh," "Got 'em," and then "Ugh." But honest truth is that it's simple to get married. All you got to do is get the license, show up to a preacher and say, "Yep, I will." And he says, "You just did." And that settles it. I believe in easy marriageism. Bible likens salvation to eating a meal. There's a food. All you got to do is eat it. You haven't got to study it. You haven't got to know what the vitamins are all in it or how many calories are in it. Most of you obviously didn't check. And you don't have to know all of that. All you got to do is just reach out and get a bite. That's all. I believe in easy eatism. Bible talks about salvation and compares it to coming in the door. I believe in easy innerism. And so does God. You trust, if you know you're a sinner, and you know that sinners are lost, and you know that Jesus paid the penalty for sinners, and that penalty was paid by His living a perfect life, and going to Calvary and bearing in His own body your sins, and after 72 hours rising from the dead, and you're willing to rely your hope for heaven on that, and you settle it, I believe in that, and I believe that He died for me, and I rely on that as my hope for heaven. Call it what you want to call it, you're saved. But he said, I don't believe you can be saved just like that. Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. You can get raptured just like that, too. And one minute you is, next minute, one minute you ain't, next minute you is. And salvation's by grace through faith. And here it's settled once and for all. What must I do to be saved? But in spite of many, many sermons that could be preached, and I've already preached three of them, this passage. The main thing I see tonight is the fact of their singing. These men have no right to sing. They hadn't just answered the right question on the $64,000 question. They had no right to sing. Their rich uncle that hated them and they hated hasn't died, made a mistake, and left them in their will. They have no right to sing. They're not on their honeymoon and with the lovely bride. They have no right to sing. These men are in jail. These men are in prison. These men are down in the inner prison. Their feet in stocks and their hands in cuffs. And yet they're singing. Now why were they singing? Here's the message. These men had two homes. They had a home in the jail. They had a home in the heavenlies. Brother Colston mentioned a while ago that I read a while ago two or three passages that deal with the heavenlies. And the Bible doesn't say that when you die, you can live in the heavenlies. The Bible says you can live in the heavenlies now. In the Ephesian letter, the apostle says that we can now sit in heavenly places. So these men had two places they could live. They could live in the prison and weep, or they could live in the heavenlies and sing. And so they did. They had a choice. I see two men with a choice. Their choice is, where will we live? They happened to choose to live in the heavenlies rather than live in prison. And the vehicle that transported them from prison to the heavenlies was the vehicle of singing. No longer were they in prison. They were living in the heavenlies. Oh, yes, they were inside stone walls. Oh, yes, their feet were set fast in the wood of brutal stocks. Oh, yes, these men were imprisoned, but they were not imprisoned. Men who are imprisoned who sing are not imprisoned. Men who are in jail who sing are not in jail, because you can sing your way from the jail cell to the heavenlies and sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And the vehicle by which you are transported from the jail cell or the hospital room or the sick room is the vehicle of singing. You can't imprison somebody who sings, because singing won't stay in the prison walls. They've sung their way to the heavenlies. They are sitting with Christ in heavenly places. They're fellowshipping with angels. They're swinging the censers of their holy priesthood in high and heavenly places. These men were not in prison. Men who sing in prison cannot be in prison. It was impossible to imprison them because they sang their way to deliverance. They have risen on lifts of song. Men who sing at midnight are citizens of that city that knows no night and needs no light.
These men are singing. Abraham lived there. Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees to look for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and ruler is God. He lived in the heavenlies. Now, you can live tonight in your circumstances of heartache, or you can sing your way out of that, and you can live tonight in the heavenlies. He lives in a world all his own, somebody says. No, he lives in a world all his own. And now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't face the reality of tragedy and the reality of heartache. I mentioned that this morning. First thing you're supposed to do is face the reality of heartache and the reality of burdens. And, of course, you live someplace and you can visit other places, and we ought to visit reality occasionally and weep some tears of sorrow. But thank God our dwelling place, our homestead, can be in the heavenlies. And so Abraham lived there. He left the Ur of the Chaldees, looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. He lived in the heavenlies, though he never saw it. He fellowshiped with its citizens, though he never saw them. There's always something about Abraham that made you think he wasn't home. He was out to visit the heavenlies. He was singing his way to a city which hath foundation, whose ruler, builder and ruler is God. May I say tonight, you may sit in the prison of heartache, but you can sing your way into heavenly places. You may sit tonight in the prison of loneliness, but you can sing your way into the abode of heavenly places. You may live tonight in the prison of sadness and heartache and heartbreak, but you can sing your way into the heavenly places. Now, if you want to live on earth, and if you want to spend all your time down here with its heartache, heartbreak, and tears, and broken dreams, and broken hearts, and broken lives, and broken aspirations, and destroyed air castles, you go ahead. But you don't have to live down here all the time. There's a way you can live in the heavenlies. And the Apostle Paul said, we sit now in heavenly places. I'll be in heaven someday. I mean, I'll guarantee you, brother, I'm as sure for heaven as this pulpit is of wood. You say, you must be pretty good. No, I'm trusting someone who's pretty good. And he's my pilot, and his job to get me there, and he's never lost a case, never had a crash. I'm just as much in heaven tonight as, and I'll be someday in the heavenlies. But I've got news for you. There's a way tonight. Turn this down just a tad, just a little bit. There's a way tonight that you can live in the heavenlies. You can rise above the tear-stained world. You can rise above the heartbreak and heartache of this old sin-cursed world. And you can live in the heavenlies. And what a tragedy it is for God's people to wallow in the quagmire of the hog pen when there's a heavenly place where you can rise and live. You say, how'd I get there? You sing your way there. That's the way you get there. You can't put a guy in prison who sings. He'll sing his way out. His prison break will be caused by his singing. Paul lived there with stones railing on him in Lystra. He started a church there, and people had come from Iconium and Derbe, and they had come to cause trouble, and they stoned Paul and left him for dead outside the city. But Paul said, don't think I'll stay here. I think I'll go up for a visit. And he was caught up into the third heaven. Now, Paul had a choice, same choice you have. If you want to live down here in this septic tank of iniquity and dwell on it all the time, go ahead. But you can sing your way to the glory world. And Paul said, I think I'll visit heaven a while. He went up there and heard him sing, came back, and folks said, what was it like? He said, you wouldn't believe it. It's not lawful to tell you what it's like. And he was here, but he lived there with stones railing on him. I'm saying, while the stones were railing on the apostle, he wasn't living outside the city of Lystra. He got himself a transfer for a while to heavenly places. He lived in heavenly places. Stephen lived there, though his body was slumped in a lifeless heap outside Stephen's gate, outside the city of Jerusalem, as he had preached his marvelous sermon. And as all of a sudden they came and took stones and stoned him to death, Stephen said, I think I'll get transferred for a while. Just don't think I'll live here. I think I'll live in heavenly places a while. And so Stephen decided to take the elevator up to the third floor. And he got up there and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, I see the glory of God. Now, what you'd have said is, I see whelps on my body. What we'd have said is, I see red spots where these stones are hitting me. What you'd have said is, call a preacher and have him to pray for me. Stephen had the same hurt that you'd have had. But Stephen said, just don't think I'll live down here. I think I'll go up and live in the heavenlies for a while. Somebody says, well, now, Stephen, you're out of your head. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. Bible says, having finished his work, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Stephen says, yeah, he was sitting down, but he saw me coming home, stood up to welcome me as I came home. I'm saying that Stephen, though he was being stoned and though he was being killed as far as all that can die of a Christian, he decided to live in the heavenlies, and you can do the same thing. I'm not saying you don't have burdens, but go home and visit and live there and live in the heavenlies. There's a way you can live above the circumstances. You say, how do you do it? You sing your way there. I'm not talking about just joy. I'm talking about real singing. I'm talking about open your mouth and make a joyful noise. If you can't, do what I do. Somebody said, Brother Hiles, you say your preaching's pretty good. Your singing is atrocious. I don't care. You're stuck with it anyhow, brother. The joy of the Lord's in my soul. I've got the song in my heart, and I aim to sing it. And I'll be quite frank with you. The older I get, the more I can't keep from singing. And the older I get, the more you're going to get it. Like it or not, you're going to get it. Why? Because I got the joy of peace that passeth understanding down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I'm simply saying that by a song, can lift you from the circumstances of a sin-cursed world and put you in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And the tragedy of all tragedies is that we live down here with our disappointments and live down here with our complaints and live down here with our burdens and live down here with our heartaches. And God said, you can come now and live now in the heavenly places above. We can sit now in heavenly places, he said. John Bunyan lived there while he was in the Bedford prison. While the rats, big enough almost, a couple of you could carry him off. While the rats were, the rat-infested jail cell was his earthly home, John Bunyan didn't live there. He didn't stay there. You can't put John Bunyan in prison. John Bunyan was lifted to the heavenlies and gave us that great book, Pilgrim's Progress, about the journey of Christian, most amazing thing written outside the Bible and Brudenham and Lace and I in the whole history of the world. He didn't live in the Bedford prison for 12 years. He lived in the heavenlies for 12 years. Now, his body was in the Bedford prison, but he walked in the heavenlies. He walked with Christ. He fellowshiped with things above. I have a little book. I say a little book. It's an average-sized book, one of the most amazing books I've ever read. The book's the story of John Bunyan's little blind daughter. Everybody ought to read it. Little blind daughter. 12 years, John Bunyan lay in the Bedford jail writing on milk bottle stoppers what we now know as the Great Pilgrim's Progress. His little girl came one day to the jail and said, Daddy, I've got some good news for you. And John Bunyan said, what is it, sweetheart? And she said, Daddy, they're going to let you out of jail if you just do one thing. John Bunyan said, what is it, honey? She said, Daddy, said, if you'll just promise not to preach on the streets anymore, they said they'd let you out of jail. She said, please, Daddy, come home to Mommy and me and don't preach on the streets anymore. And John Bunyan, through his own tears, mingling with the tears of his little blind girl, he said, honey, if they let me out of jail today, I'll preach on the streets tomorrow. You can't imprison a fellow like that. He lived in the heavenlies. Oh, how penury we are. How pitiful our lives are. We wallow in complaining. We wallow in griping. We wallow in earthy things. We wallow in earthy conversation. We wallow in earthy books. We wallow in earthy talk. We wallow in earthy activities. But we can't, if we want to sing ourselves, we can sing ourselves right to the glory world right now and live in heavenly places. That's what Paul and Silas did. John lived there while exiled on a rocky island of Patmos for the testimony of the Word of God. Beloved John, with no one there but himself, John could have said, I'm lonely. He could have said, I've got it tough. I'm exiled. I want to go back home. I'm homesick. John said, don't think I'll stay here. Think I'll go to the heavenlies and live.
John was lifted out of himself and went to the heavenlies. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Of all of the things that God's people need to learn, we need to learn that there's a better life than this old earthly life. And I'm not talking about just heaven. I'm talking about now. Listen, there's a way you can get in this book and get raptured to the heavens now. Live in the heavens. Get out of the garbage you read and get back in the Word of God. Be lifted to the heavenlies. There's a way that you can get alone. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest near to the heart of God. Where God's people can go and find a pavilion in the storm and a refuge in the howling winds. And you can get close to the heart of God. And I want to tell you, and I'm not talking about what I don't know about now. I'm testifying. I'm saying there's a place that you can rise above the nick-ticking. And there's a place you can rise above the penury of a little piddling Christian life. And that slops beneath the load and the secularism, there is a throne of grace. And God invites you to come boldly to that throne of grace. And if you just spend some time there, you can get off of the earthly and live in the heavenly. Remind me of somebody lives here when it's 20 below zero and 65 feet of snow on the ground in February, and you got a home in Arizona or a home in Florida. Good night, you creep. No, stay here. We need you in Sunday school. But I mean, it's silly. I mean, the throne of grace is available. The Bible's available. Jehovah God is as close as your heart wants Him to be. You'll have to live a carnal life. You'll have to wallow in the lust of a heathen world. You'll have to live a life of defeatism. You can rise to the heavenlies. You have a choice. Your name is written in heaven tonight. You have a choice. You can live in the heavenlies if you want to. Or if you don't want to, you can stay right down here in this old world and just go ahead and gripe and suffer through it. But blessed be God, it's your fault if you don't live in the heavenlies. The throne of grace is as near tonight as that microphone is to me. And God invites you to come boldly to that throne, and the Word of God is as close to you as the coffee table is in your house, or your desk is at home, or the end table is at home, and there it is. And God said, rise to the heavens. Paul wasn't living in the jail. The Hebrew children lived there as they saw in the fiery furnace the Son of Man. Paul was not in prison. Paul was in the heavenlies. John Bunyan was not in prison. John Bunyan was in the heavenlies. The Hebrew children were not in the fire furnace. They were in the heavenlies. Stephen was not in Jerusalem's gate. At Jerusalem's gate, he was in the heavenlies. John was not on Patmos. He was in the heavenlies. Paul and Silas are not in prison. They're in the heavenlies. And singing got them there. Every morning when I get up, I choose me a song for the day. I'll choose some song. The other day I chose Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. That was my song for the day. Every day I have a song for the day. And I sing it, 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 and I sing it. And God stops up His ears, and angels don't even get close to me all day long. But I sing it, and I sing it. I'll choose some song like Wreck on the Highway, Dust on the Bible, Great Speckled Bird, and forget them. But I'll choose some great song of the faith. I'll choose some song like Majestic Sweetness Sets Enthroned Upon the Savior's Brow, and I'll sing it all day long, and I'll guarantee you, you can't sing Abide With Me, Fast Fall the Eventide all day. You can't sing Come Thy Fount of Every Blessing, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Praise, Streams of Mercy Never Ceasing, Call for Songs of Loudest Praise. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. You can't sing it 100 times a day or 300 times a day without being transported into the heavenlies. Sing in the prison of your hospital room, and you will rise to the heavenlies. Sing in the prison of your rest home, and you will soar into the celestials. Sing in the prison of your broken heart, and you will be lifted to paradise. Sing in the prison of your broken body, and you will ascend into the majestics. It's your choice. Live where you choose to live. Young lady, afraid to go home because they're shooting at your house tonight, you don't have to live there. Sing yourself to the heavenlies. Mission man, on a used cot, often used by men of a plight like yours, you don't have to live with the rescue mission. Sing your way into the heavenlies and pray your way to the heavenlies and read your way to the heavenlies. Oh, we're so wrapped up with the things of this world. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open. You say, well, how do you do it? You know how to do it. You folks that are about to get married, you know what you've been doing. You haven't been at home for weeks. You know what I'm talking about. Don't look so dumb. You know what I'm talking about. You folks about to get married, you don't even know what your house looks like. You've had your mind on him and on her and on where we're going to be. And you're not living at home. You can do the same thing about Jesus. Did you know that you can daydream about Jesus as well as you can daydream about your fiancé? Your fiancé? Did you know that? That's all I'm talking about. I'm just daydream about him. I mean, love him enough to where you just think about him and love him and you think about heaven. I mean, look, you can think about where you're going to go. You folks, well, for example, Cindy and Jack went, Russell Anderson paid him vacation, honeymoon to Hawaii. Well, Cindy had already been there. Jack went alone. But Russell Anderson gave him a honeymoon to Hawaii. Why, the last month Cindy was home, she didn't live at 8232 Greenwood. She lived in Hawaii. She didn't know who I was. She didn't see me wearing a suit. She saw me in a hula skirt. If I came out some night in a hula skirt, would you give a good offering and a special offering next time? Won't you daydream about Jesus? Won't you sit there in your burdened heart sometime when you're lonely and sad? Won't you just sit there and say, I wonder what it's going to look like? I wonder, how tall is he? What color are his eyes? I wonder, those scars in his hands, how big are they? What does he smile? What does it look like when he smiles? I wonder what his voice sounds like. I rise to the heavenlies often. When I stop, and I thought a while ago, as Miss Colston was singing, all I could do not to just blurt out and let's all start singing it, living by faith in Jesus alone. Years ago, Brother Lester Roloff and I were a couple of kid preachers, and Dr. Lee Robertson came to Texas. First time I guess he'd ever been there to preach. I remember Brother Roloff and I got together and stood in line, waiting as a couple of young preachers stood in line to get Dr. Robertson to sign our Bibles. Brother Roloff called me his pastor. He'd call me on the phone and say, Pastor, and he'd need some advice. He never took it, but he always asked for it. And I was thinking a while ago, I so often get lifted into the heavenlies, and I think Brother Roloff's looking in the face of Jesus right now. I look out there at the fourth row from the front every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Oh, my mama's not sitting out there, but I see her. I see her. And I think every Sunday, Mama, I'm preaching about Jesus, and she's looking at him. We dwell too much on the things of the world. We think too much about the penny-ante things of a depraved civilization. Why don't we meditate on heaven? Why don't you wonder what size your mansion's going to be? Won't you, ladies, stop and praise God and say, thank God it'll never get dirty. Look at your old man and say, I'll never leave a ring in the bathtub in heaven. It's because he's not going to be there. But I mean,
What's wrong? Look, you wives of preachers, you that live up in the attic and share it with the rodents, don't look at your apartment. Close your eyes and think where you're going to go. Think about it. You can live in the heavenlies.
He said, well, brother, how do you live in the heavenlies? Would you give me a theological explanation? How do you live in heaven?
Shut your eyes and think about it. That's what you do. Well, you get there. You know what I like to do? Larry Weller meets me at the airport. He drives me back from the airport. You know what I do sometimes? He doesn't know this. I shut my eyes while he's driving. And you know what I see? I imagine I'm driving beside the ocean. And I hear the waves splashing up against the car. And then I'll drive through the Rocky Mountains for a while and look at them. You'd be amazed the free vacations I take in that van. I just shut my eyes. And Larry must do the same thing. He goes to sleep often while he's driving. And we just take a trip together. I'm afraid we're going to take our last one together. But you say, what do you say? I'm saying, I can go anywhere I want to go in my imagination. You know, that's one reason I don't take a lot of pictures. Another reason is I don't like to look at my, see how I look. I was looking a while ago at you girls. You, all that hair you got. I looked at your hair from the back and felt up here at the top and almost made me not even believe in God. No justice to that. But I can be bushy-headed. I want to. Are you looking at me? I see me right now. It's wavy like that. What'd you say? Yeah, waving bye-bye. Let's go back to having church. What do you say? You don't have to live here. Paul and Silas. Paul said, Silas, it's a pretty rough place, isn't it? Silas said, sure is. Paul said, I'm cold. Silas said, me too. Paul said, I'm lonely. How about you? I'm lonely too. Silas said, what are we going to do, Paul? Paul said, let's sing our way out of here. Now, I don't think all of a sudden they started singing, the Lord is in His holy temple. I think they sang something like, there's a land that is fairer than they, and by faith we can see it afar. I think all of a sudden, I think they were not in prison stones. I think they're walking streets of gold. I don't think they were looking at a prisoner. I think they were looking at the precious face of the Lord Jesus. I don't think they were hearing the groans of fellow prisoners. I think they were hearing the shouts and praises of fellow saints. And they were lifted out of themselves into the heavenlies. Bedridden, shut in, with the ceiling as your sky, and the walls as your horizon, and floor as your earth, and a 60-watt light bulb as your sun by day and moon by night. Why don't you live in the heavenlies? Lonely widow, abiding in a mausoleum of memories, having a tough time making ends meet, trying to be a father and a mother both to your children, having to get all the windows unstuck by yourself, make out the income tax by yourself. You get up before daybreak in the morning. You have to fix the breakfast and make the beds and get the house cleaned and go to work before daybreak. And you work all day in some place of business because you have no other way to make a living. You come home at night and it's already dark and you got to cook a meal and wash the dishes and you got to wash and then you got to iron the clothes and you got to clean the house and it's midnight before you get to bed and you got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You don't have to live there. Anytime you want to, you can shut your eyes and think about the land that is fairer than day. You don't have to live there. There's a throne of grace where you can visit if you want to, anytime you want to go. There's a book you can enter anytime you want to. Heartbroken one. And who among us isn't? You don't have to live on the earth. You don't have to live amidst your tears and disappointments. You can anytime you want to. You can sit in the heavenlies, weeping one, and who doesn't? You can rise to the place where they never shed tears if you want to. You can rise to the one who wipes your tears away if you want to. It's up to you. Choose where you live. It's your choice. You can live in the prison, or you can live in the heavenlies. Cancer patient, mingling your doubts with your hopes. You don't have to live in a hospital room. You can live where my mama lived. As the last time I ever held her hand while she's alive, we sang together. She sang the alto. So did I. She sang the bass. So did I. Sometimes on the same word. Both. She sang the soprano. So did I. Last time I ever held her hand while she was breathing, her heart was beating. We sang together. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. You can take a trip there anytime you want to. You can live in the heavenlies if you want to. Or you can think if you want to about the price of food. You can think if you want to about the circumstances. You can think if you want to about unemployment. You can think if you want to about poverty. You can think if you want to about your disease. Or if you decide you want to, you can just live in the heaven as it's your choice. I want you to notice Paul didn't sing because the earthquake was going to come, because Paul didn't know the earthquake was coming. Paul already out of that prison before the earthquake came. I can prove it. 2 or 3 years pass. Paul's in another prison, not the one in Philippi. It's the Mamertine prison. No earthquake came here. Read the book, one of the books he wrote. By the way, this very book Brother Colston read from a while ago about the heavenly places, and we can now sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Paul was in the Mamertine prison when he wrote that. And sitting there in that little prison, and many of you have seen it, a little round jail, round room underneath the ground, and then another room under that with a hole about that big around where you're thrown down in the bottom second layer of the basement, cold and damp. He had no electricity. He had no color television set in his motel room. He had no carpet on the floor. He had no air conditioning by summer and heat by winter. He had no coat to put around him. He had no cover to put over his cold body. He had no doctor now to attend him as he had on some of his journeys when Dr. Luke was with him. He's alone. But listen to what he wrote. From that place he said, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. From that place he wrote, rejoice in the Lord always. From that place he wrote, again I say, rejoice. From that place he wrote, making request with all joy. From that place he wrote, to live is Christ, to die is Cain. He's still singing. He didn't live in that jail either. He sang his way out of it. He transferred to the heavenly places. He hears the footsteps as they come. The guillotine has been sharpened and prepared just for the severing of his head. The footprints are he hears the footsteps of the soldiers as they come to get him. He writes, I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not for me only, but of all those that love his appearing. They come and get him. He's singing still. No earthquake is going to deliver him this time, but he's still singing. Why? He's living in the heavenlies. They take him down to the riverside. They lift the guillotine high, a sharpened sword, and they raise it high. And it drops. And the weary brow of the old soldier of Calvary is no longer weary. He wasn't in jail. He was in the heavenlies. And when the guillotine was lowered,
He didn't even change addresses. He was already there. The last thing I did for 18 years, when I left town on Monday morning, or if I ever took a trip to preach, the last thing I did was pick up the telephone at the airport just before I boarded the plane and call my mama and say, "I love you, mother." And she said, "I love you, son." It's always the last thing I did before getting on the airplane. 18 years after I had done one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life, when I stood here before a packed house and preached my mama's funeral service. We went to the cemetery, and as her body was, I've never told this, I don't think I have, as her body was pushed in the crypt there, and as we looked at her body and as we covered her face, our family sang, "I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me." We sang it. And we got down to the chorus, "Oh, victory in Jesus." And our family sang it as we put the covering over Mama's face, and as they closed the casket and put the casket inside, we sang together. I had to rush to the airport. I made a promise to Mama I wouldn't cancel an engagement, preach engagement, because of her death. She made me promise her that. I went out to the airport. I rushed from the cemetery to the airport to fly to Louisville, Kentucky. I was preaching near Louisville that night. And so I left the cemetery. I went out to the airport. And just before I got on the plane, all of a sudden I forgot. And I went. And I called 868-0367. That's Mama's phone number. I forgot. And it rang and it rang and it rang and it rang and it rang. And finally the operator said, "Sir, I don't think anybody's at home." And I said, "I'm sorry, operator, I forgot. She moved last Thursday." But I was wrong. She moved years ago, because I saw her